my. Would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14? And I'm delighted to be here. This is always a great, great joy and a lot of fun and a real blessing, truly. Matthew chapter 14. It's a passage that most of you know well. Many of you have even taught on. And I want us to see something very simple in this passage, but very significant, at least for me. We read in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit!" And they cried out for fear. But straightway, verse 27 tells you and me, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Father, give us, I pray, understanding and personal, specific application for this second service, for this part of the Calvary Chapel family. In Jesus' name, for his purposes, for his glory, I pray. Amen, Lord. Well, in this second service, I'm going to ask you to engage your brain a bit. To put on your thinking caps, if you would. To take a short test, if you don't mind. I'm going to ask you to answer these questions with a single word. One word. First of all, if I was to ask you in one word to tell me what a farmer does, what would you say? He farms. Excellent. If I was to ask you what a painter does, what would you say? He paints. If I was to ask you what a plumber does, what would you say? He plumbs. If I was to ask you what a baker does, what would you say? He bakes. If I was to ask you what a lawyer does, what would you say? Nothing. No. If I was to ask you what a rancher does, you would say he ranches. If I was to ask you what a Savior does, he saves. Gang. That's the one that we're gathering around today. That's the one we're thinking about today. That's the one that we get to talk to today. He is a Savior, and He delights to save. That's what He does. A farmer farms, a banker banks, a fighter fights, a plumber plumbs, and a Savior saves. That's who He is. That's what He does. Gabriel told Joseph to take Mary as his wife. And that which was conceived in her, that is Mary, was of the Holy Ghost. And thou, Gabriel said to Joseph, shalt call his name, what gang? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, or Yeshua, Jehovah, is salvation. Jesus loves to save. Now you all know that. You've all been born again. You've all trusted that Jesus Christ died for your sins on Calvary's tree, was buried, and He rose again, and He stands at the door of men's hearts and knocks. And whoever hears that knock and opens the door, Jesus said, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. You all know that. We're aware of that. I'm thankful for that. But understand this. It's not just that He saved you, me, us back then, but He delights to save you and me constantly. Every time that we feel like, man, I'm going down, like Peter in the story. Peter, who walked on water and yet took his eyes off the Lord, began to look on the rolling waves and the boisterous wind, and he lost his way. He lost his balance. He was going down quickly, and that great big lovable fisherman, Peter, said, Lord, save me. And the Lord says, I'd love to. As he immediately stretched out his hand and grabbed that man who history calls the giant, Peter. He was a big man, evidently. And with one hand, he grabs Peter by the hand, and with one hand, he does a one-armed curl. Pulls Peter out of the water. Peter, sopping wet, no doubt well over 200 pounds. Pulls him out of the water. That's my Savior. That's our friend. And plops Peter back in the boat again. And with a smile on his face and a sparkle in his eye, oh, he said to Pete, why did you doubt? But even though your faith faltered, Peter, even though you were going down, even though you were freaking out, the minute you said, Lord, save me, immediately I stretched out my hand to you. I'm there to do just that. I'm a Savior. And that's what a Savior does. 2 weekends ago, my wife was having a garage sale, garage giveaway. And one of the things, a sale from her perspective, a giveaway from mine. But be that as it may. There was these two desks, steel desks with a steel cabinet that were in the granddaughter's room. And we were changing that out. These desks, man, they weighed a ton. And that cabinet weighed a ton. And it was there on the driveway, and I was speaking somewhere at the time, so I wasn't there. But a lady came by to buy those desks and that cabinet. And she took a look at it and tried to pick it up just a bit and said, I'll be right back with my husband and my sons and a truck to get this stuff. Well, it just so happened that right then, our junior high pastor, a guy by the name of Nick, he happened to show up. And Nick is one of these guys that is a real weightlifter, power lifter. You know, I mean, he's a kung fu karate dude, and he's a weightlifter. He's in fabulous shape. And he said to the lady, "Hey, no need for that. I can put those in the back of this truck, no problema." And she said, "Really?" Nick said, "I was made for this." And man, he got under that desk and did a squat and a clean and jerk and a curl and a press or whatever it was, and popped those babies in the truck single-handedly. He was made for that, you see. It was his delight. He wasn't saying, "What a burden. What a bummer. This is heavy." He was saying, "Hey, I was made for this kind of stuff. Watch this." And that's what Jesus says to you. He doesn't go, "You're sinking again, eh, Johnny? What a bummer. Man, I suppose I gotta save you, don't I? Wow, this is inconvenient for me. It's a burden to me. I'm not very happy about it, frankly." No. My friend, our friend, Jesus Christ is a Savior. The Savior, Jesus saves. Whenever, however frequently it might be, when I feel my soul sinking, or my walk faltering, or my faith failing, when I'm going down, when I feel as though I just can't go on, when I'm going under, when it seems as though I'm through, all I've got to do is say, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." Sometimes I have a tendency to look to others or to seek help from others when it's Jesus who's standing right there saying, "I was made for this. This is my thing, to be a Savior. Why would I look to others? Why would I trust in others when I have access to the Savior of Saviors, Jesus Christ? He hears my prayers. He hears yours. Lord, save me." He wants to keep saving you. He wants to keep saving me. He's there. He's with you. He's with us. He's Emmanuel, which means God with us. We tend to want a manual. Give me a manual about overcoming depression. Give me a manual about how to manage my money. Give me a manual about how to raise my kids. And God says, "I'm not sending you a manual. I am Emmanuel. I'm with you right here, right now." And he stretched out his hand. His hand. His hand. The scriptures say that our names are engraved in the palm of his hand. His hand pinned to Calvary's tree, where he said, "I love you so much. I care about you so passionately. I'm absorbing your sin. I'm paying the price that you might be saved eternally. And I want to save you not just eternally, but practically, constantly, presently, continually. If you'll just call out to me." His hand. Immediately, he stretched out his hand. A violin in my hand is a squeaky noise. A violin in the hand of Yitzhak Perlman is masterful music. A chunk of granite, a block of granite in my hand is just a chunk of rock. a block of granite in Michelangelo's hand is a statue of David. A peanut in my hand is an airline snack. Or it used to be. Not anymore. But a peanut in George Washington Carver's hand is peanut butter, shoe polish, furniture wax, and over 300 other inventions from the peanut. A basketball in my hand is $29.95. A basketball in Kobe Bryant's hand is $29 million. A golf club in my hand is a dangerous weapon. A golf club in Tiger Woods' hand is a dangerous weapon. Oh, pardon me. A rod in my hand is a stick to beat off a Rottweiler. A rod in Moses' hand parts the Red Sea. The jawbone of an ass in my hand is a chunk of dead donkey. But the jawbone of an ass in Samson's hand is a weapon of mass destruction. A sling in my hand is a kid's toy. A sling in David's hand is a giant killer. Mud and spit in my hand is a mud pie. But mud and spit in Jesus' hands opens the blind eyes. 5 loaves and 2 fish in my hand is a couple of fish sandwiches. But 5 loaves and 2 fish in his hand feeds 5,000 men. Nails, wood in my hand is a birdhouse. But wood and nails in his hands is the salvation of humanity. See, here's the thing, kids. Here's the thing, gang. Here's what we got to remember all the time. Who are we going to look to? In whose hands am I going to place my burden, my problem, my shortcoming, my failures? In a counselor's hand, a parent's hand, a spouse's hand, a brother's hand, it may not be all that much, but in his hand, he reaches out that hand that has my name engraved therein. That hand that was stretched out on Calvary's cross. That hand reaches to me. He lives to be my Savior presently. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to him in prayer. Let the Savior be the Savior. Let him save you right now from your depression, from financial burden, from physical affliction, from relational stresses. I didn't know what I was going to share for this second service. until just a few moments before I began. I believe that this is a word from the Lord for some who are in second service. I believe that there are some that have been making the understandable mistake that they made in Isaiah's day. In Isaiah chapter 30, don't turn there, just listen. I'm almost through. But in Isaiah chapter 30, God said, "Woe be to my rebellious children who take counsel and look for help, but not from me. Who seek the Egyptians to assist them. But God said, the Egyptians shall help in vain." The people of Israel were aware that the Assyrians in the north were threatening them ominously. They sent, the people of Israel did, emissaries to Egypt to set up a strategic political military alliance, which would be logical. But God said it's awful. He went on to say in Isaiah 30, "In returning to me," the Lord said, "and in rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. You said, we shall ride upon the Egyptians' horses. Therefore," the Lord says, "they that pursue you shall be swifter than those horses." You're getting counsel from these guys. You're looking to them for solutions. You're setting up these political alliances or those military confederations. But God says, why don't you just return to me and look to me? Be quiet, be confident. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And then, check this out. The Lord says in Isaiah 30, "And then you shall hear a word in your ear saying, this is the way to go. Walk ye in it." When to turn to the right or when to turn to the left. If you'll quit trying to solve your own problem or look to other men for the solution. Rather, if you'll just return to me and be quiet and rest, wait on me, talk to me, spend time with me, the Lord says, you shall be saved. And you'll hear a word in your ear saying, go to the right or go to the left. Jesus is the Savior. May you allow Him to save you today. You who have been looking to some counselor to solve your marital stresses, some employer to meet your financial needs, some friend or neighbor to carry your woes and burdens, I believe the Lord has me here to say to you, specifically, whoever you might be, cut it out. Go back to basics. Jesus would say, I was made for this. I'm your Savior. In simplicity, just pray, Lord, save me. And immediately, He'll stretch out His hand. He's never let me down. I've walked with the Lord now for 55 years. He's never let me down. Not once. I've sunk many a time. I've failed many a day, but every time I've cried out like Peter did in the story that we're looking at this morning, Lord, save me. He reaches out His hand immediately. He'll do that right now. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to seize this opportunity. I'm going to ask you in just a few seconds to bow your head and to whisper a prayer. Move your lips. Whisper the prayer. Don't just think, because most of you are like me. We're lame brains. And if we just sort of think our prayers, our minds wander, we space out, we get nothing done. Do what Jesus did. Jesus prayed out loud. John 17 confirms that fact. If you haven't learned, learn to pray out loud. Always pray out loud. If there's people around, then just whisper quietly, but move your lips. Why? So that you're engaging in a meaningful, articulate conversation with specificity and respect, not just some mind-wandering, meandering, meaningless thing. But Lord, save me, he cried. And I don't know who this message is for. If it's just for two of you or three of us or five or 15 or maybe more, I don't know. But I want all of us to not just hear about prayer and go our way saying, that's sort of interesting, I guess, that Jesus saves. If that's what happens, we've all sort of wasted our time. But rather in this house of prayer, if we take time to pray, short, simple, heartfelt prayers, like Peter did that day, Lord, save me. I've been depressed. Lord, save me. I've been caught in the web of pornography. Lord, save me. He's been flirting with me and it's pulling on me. Lord, save me. I've just been grumpy and grouchy. Lord, save me. I don't even know if I believe like I once did. Lord, save me. I'm here to tell you, he'll hear your prayer. He'll stretch out that hand. And what he will do is he will pull you up and see you through. He always does, always has, always will. Because that's what he came to do. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save. Listen, he shall save. Listen, he shall save. Continually save is the word. He shall continually save his people from their sins. Could I ask you to all bow your heads? Could I ask you to right now, whatever thing that you've been struggling with, whatever thing's been holding you back or pulling you down or wiping you out, and you've talked to your wife or you've talked to your boyfriend or you've gone for counseling or you've gone to seminars and whatever it might be, but today the Lord is saying to you, just call on me. We'll take 30 seconds of quietness. Would you whisper your prayers? Oh, don't just sit there like a lump on a log. Do it. Let's do what Peter did with articulation and sincerity. Let's call upon the Lord to save. Take 30 seconds right now, and then I'll close. He's the Savior of my soul, my Jesus, my Jesus.